This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
On Mondays around this time, I get on my big green egg. I pat out some burger meat like I used to do back at the Memphis Country Club. I get them ready for the grill. I season these a little different than I did back in the day, though. I season these with respect. Let's do respect
burgers. Now, it's time for the Jason and John Show Respect Burgers.
R-E-S-E-C-T. Find out what it means to me.
Sizzling Respect Burgers. Served hot and fresh from Jason and John.
Teams that are not up for a respect burger this week. Memphis Showboats. They've dropped to 1-3. Got problems, particularly on offense.
Why you got to bring that up, man?
901 FC. They've lost 5 straight. Teams will not be receiving a respect burger today. Here's who is, though. Yeah, that's the horn from the Showboat. It ain't very powerful these days. Here's who's getting a respect burger. Number one, I don't know that he's ever received one. Could be first-time recipient. Brad Carson and the power of the Fade Brad segment. To be honest with you, no, round of applause. Not the fart button, round of applause, Brad. Because, again, it's this kind of consistency that even expert, you know, winning pickers can't find. You have found a consistency on the other side, and yet what it's done is made our listeners, if they've paid any attention and done the opposite of what you've picked, they had an 8-2 weekend. 8-2. It really was the most amazing thing for both John and I throughout the weekend. We were both texting back and forth the fact that Brad's going to come out of this thing with a 2-8 record, meaning 8-2 for the segment. Got nothing but respect for it. We'll review the picks real quick.
Yeah.
Again, the advice is to do the opposite of Brad. That's why it's called Fade Brad Carson. He likes Magic plus 5. Knicks minus 5.5, Nuggets minus 7. Brad, it's been a phenomenal start, and we're just hoping that you don't feel any pressure whatsoever to change your approach, do anything. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Well,
because in losing,
yes,
you are winning. The show is winning.
I got into this gig in radio 30 years ago by doing less, not more. So I'm trying to, you know.
Don't change the prep.
I'm not going to over-prep this thing.
And then, don't start feeling, oh, man, I'm really picking losers.
Yeah.
Like, I want to put.
Nope, no, I won't be self-conscious about it.
Don't be self-conscious about it at all.
For the program.
It's been a service for our listeners.
Thank you.
And, yes, for those of you all not tuned in, you should be to our Fade Brad segment. We'll be doing that just about every day of the playoffs. Especially while this trend continues.
I just posted it if you missed it, so it's all up there with your analysis
you
and everything.
You can check it out on X. You can hear the audio of Brad's picks and everything that he put into making them. Moving on.
Right.
This one's a little bit more serious. His name's Greg Williams. He is a coach over at Tresvant High School. Girls basketball coach, if I'm not mistaken, head girls basketball coach. And we had talked about this story, gentlemen, because the video had come out of a fight, an altercation over at Tresvant High School, a young man pushing, hitting a teacher, in this case, Greg Williams, the coach. And then Greg, you know, after being hit a couple of times, responds with a punch as he awaits security to help him out with this fight and everything else. And I'm giving Greg Williams a respect burger. I know a lot of people right now, and especially I think it's the child, the mom of that child, are mad at Greg Williams. That he defended himself, essentially, and, yes, maybe connected with a punch to this young man after you know, taking several himself. My understanding from over the weekend is that Greg Williams, again, head girls basketball coach over at Trisvan, is currently on suspension and facing termination, which I think is wrong. There, my wife being in the system, I know there's a written rule, unwritten rule that these teachers are not supposed to hit the kids, right? Because then you're going to have pissed off moms and dads who might threaten to sue, everything else. Like, I get that. But again, if you have watched this situation, if you've seen it, it's made the news, if you've seen the video, what is a teacher supposed to do in this situation where they are being attacked? It is clear to me that Greg Williams, for a while there, was trying to get this young man out of the room, move him on. Young man wasn't going to the point that he actually took his shirt off, ready to go fight, puts up his dukes and everything else. Greg Williams is a fantastic teacher and coach over at Trisvan High School. Great advocate for the school, and most who know him know that. Like, that he would never lay hands on a kid to try to hurt him. In this case, it was all self-defense. And so he's hired an attorney and everything else, and I realize at this point, I don't think he can say much because he's got this pending case with MSCS in terms of we're going to end up having to terminate you. But I just want him to know that there are people out here that have got his back in this situation. We know how tough it is in the school system these days. Some of these kids ain't respecting, hey, get out of here, like they used to. Ain't respecting when a teacher tells them to sit down. In fact, some of them are challenging these teachers because they know there'll be very little in the way of repercussions. And so how are you supposed to, again, if the security officer is going to be slow to the fight, or if he's not going to come at all, how are you supposed to respond? Just take, like we said when we discussed the story, just take a whooping from a kid? And so, Greg Williams was responding in self-defense. I respect the influencer, the positive influencer he has been over at Trisvan, and whether it's at that school or somewhere else, I hope that his future as a teacher and as a coach does not come to an end because of this. Because I would tell you, he handled the situation about as well as you could from everything that I have gathered and everything that I have seen. I've got Greg Williams' back. That may not mean anything in the long run. MSCS may decide, you know what, we've got to terminate him because of our rules. I think it's the wrong decision in this case. Greg Williams is one of the good ones, and you need to keep as many of those in this system as you absolutely can. So respect burger to Greg Williams. I hope he is able to keep his job over at Trisvan or somewhere else in MSCS. Moving on, I realize he was ineffective, but I thought it was over for Joel Embiid when I was watching him on the ground, looking up into the air, almost a glaze in his eyes. After he comes down, John had pointed out, it was a heck of a play. He throws the ball off the backboard in the second quarter, goes and dunks it, but comes down on that knee and goes down in the heat very quickly. At that point, it looked like, okay, series over. Joel Embiid comes back, plays in the third quarter. Alan Hahn was there, obviously at Madison Square Garden, covers the Knicks. Watched Joel Embiid as he went off. And he said as he looked into his eyes that he thought he was looking into the eyes of a man who understood, this thing's over for me. Like, I'm not going to be able to go on. And so he was pointing out this morning how much he couldn't believe when Joel Embiid was running back out there in the third quarter to go play. And, yes, they came up short. But, frankly, you know, for him to be able to finish with 29 points, he's dealt with this meniscus in the knee, and now another knee injury. I think the guy's battling. Joel Embiid used to be a guy that wanted to play a little bit too much. But I think this is a guy who now realizes, listen, my window is not unlimited. Like, at some point, I've got to get serious about basketball, serious about playing through injury and everything else. It feels to me like he's giving them everything he can. But in this instance, it's probably going to end up being short. He was so ineffective after getting back. Again, I mentioned 0-5 in the fourth quarter from the field and no rebound. So he's really just a shadow of himself. But I got nothing but respect for him going back out there, and also for him telling the French, for him lying to the French. Now, I'm saying he lied to the French, and usually why would you get a respect burger for lying?
Right.
A couple of years ago, he was seeking a French passport, okay? He has never lived there, but he's got family that does. We know Cameroon is where I believe he was born, but played high school ball here. But apparently a couple of years ago, he went and requested a French passport to start the process of, I'm going to play for your national team. And he told, you know, who he applied to, that these are the first steps toward me playing for your national team. Well, we know now he's been listed. He's going to play, if he plays at all. My guess is Joel Embiid, this is all going to be moot. Joel ain't going to play based on where he is right now with the injury. But his point, he's now changed, going to play for the U.S. Of A, the great U.S. of A.
Yes.
I think John's got a little bit of a problem with that. I don't, because he's we're going to win.
No, I love
with
it.
Joel Embiid. That said, a Frenchman, Frederick Weiss, or is it Weiss?
I think Weiss, it's Weiss. Weiss, yeah.
Is it? It's German, though, isn't
German.
It? German. Okay. That, yep. But this is French. Either way.
Yep.
Okay. Frederick Weiss is the now has a radio show in France. He is the former center of the French national team that got dunked on by Vince Carter back in the day. Remember they jumped over the 7-footer? He's got a radio show, and he says he hates Joel Embiid for doing what he's done to France, to lying to them. So much so that he said this: I consider this boy a great player as much as he is a dirty guy. Frederick Weiss called Joel Embiid a boy.
He did.
And again, this ain't black on black like it was with
right.
You know, with our man, who was that? I forget it every time. The center, Kwame Brown, when he was going off on Matt Barnes and calling Matt Barnes a boy. This is Frederick, a white guy, calling Embiid a boy. I imagine he's going to hear from Joel Embiid if he hasn't already on that. But either way, I like Joel lying to France so that he can play for the USA, and I like the fact that he's fighting through injury. All right, moving on. He's now a two-time Respect Burger earner in 2 weeks, but he's that hot. Scottie Scheffler has to get another one. He ends up winning this morning as they finished it up. The RBC Heritage, what's it after, you know, a week after winning the Masters, had a 5-shot lead with 3 holes to play in the rain-delayed tournament, and he held on this morning on the final for a 3-under-68 and a 3-shot victory. He has now won, John, was $3.6 million for winning this last tournament. His last 5 events, he's won 4 of 5. Arnold Palmer, he got first Players. He got first Texas Children. He got second Masters, first RBC Heritage, first. That's $16 million in earnings, winnings over 44 days per Joe Pompliano, who covers the business of sports, obviously. This, we have not seen a run like this, frankly, since Bernard Langer. He won for the 4th time in the past 5 starts and became the first player since Bernard Langer in 1985 to win the week after capturing the Masters green jacket. It feels tigerish.
Yep.
I don't know if he can keep it up. His wife is still pregnant. He's still doing this with, at any time, being able to be called away with his wife in labor, going into labor. So respect to Scheffler. He's the hottest thing on the tour, and right now he's the big attention grabber for professional golf. And frankly, professional golf needs him. They need this dominance. It gives you something to pay attention to. We haven't seen, again, this kind of dominance since Tiger Woods. All right, moving on. He was not a good executive, not a good owner in the NBA. He was a great player. But he's starting to get this NASCAR thing down, it looks like. How about Michael Jordan being on the scene? Brad was all over Talladega this weekend. I heard some of the promos. We were covering it. Tyler Reddick gets the win. And Michael Jordan, as a result, was finally able to celebrate in person his first NASCAR Cup Series win there in person.
Again,
he has won, but never been there when he's won. So much so that they had started, some of the team members had started saying he was bad luck when he came around, because the team would lose to that point. But Reddick was driving
here.
Yeah, Reddick was, because he was there, and
big,
you saw the afterwards.
Big for the sport.
Was driving a Jordan Brand number 45 car for, is it 2311 Racing? Is that how they?
Yeah, 2311 Racing, but the car is 45 because of his other number.
The number 45 car, and it's but his brand is 2311 Racing. And afterwards, you saw him pick up Reddick's kid, just completely joyful. Everything else, he was talking about how this has sort of replaced the competitiveness that he had in basketball, that obviously as an owner and as a team executive, he wasn't able to necessarily turn into success. He is now he's now winning in person. His team is on the NASCAR circuit. And again, Hamlin. Denny Hamlin. Told Jordan he's bad luck. But Jordan told Fox Sports that he was able to prove him wrong yesterday. So I was happy for my man, Michael Jordan, in his other line of work. There's your Respect Burgers for the week. Hey. A little bit of everything.
Yeah, wish that was a very nice addition.
Wish we could do more here back home. But only, so, you know, the team success right now, not so hot.
That, no question about it. I'm going to give a disrespect dog to this. This just actually happened as we speak. Major League Baseball umpire Hunter, let me see how you say his name here, Hunter Windelstedt. He ejected Aaron Boone, the Yankees manager. They're playing a matinee right now. Mm-hmm. He ejected Aaron Boone 5 pitches into the game. Now, here's what happened, okay? Esteri Ruiz was hit by a pitch on an 0-2 count. Hit him on the foot. Yankees thought he swung at it. That was the initial dispute. So Aaron Boone comes out like he does, and Hunter Windelstedt says, "You're not yelling at me. I did what I was supposed to do and checked. I'm looking for him to get hit by the pitch. You got anything else to say? You're gone." One pitch later, he ejected Aaron Boone. So they separated. Mm. Boone went back to the dugout, walked back to the dugout. One pitch later, he was ejected. So it turns out Aaron Boone, the camera was on Aaron Boone. He was looking away, not saying anything. A fan is actually who said something.
Oh, boy.
And he the umpire said,
Aaron's
"I don't care."
Aaron's already got the reputation.
And yeah, so he just went ahead and jammed him.
You got it wrong on this one.
He said, "I don't care who said it.
Yeah.
You're gone."
Oh, no.
It is Aaron Boone's second ejection of the season. This is third game of the year. No, it's not third, but it is his second ejection.
Yeah.
18 ejections since 2018, most in the majors.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no doubt his reputation preceded him.
He's a hothead. Yep.
My God, dude. I mean, the ego on these umpires sometimes. Well, for what? Where does the arrogance come from? You get a disrespect dog for that. If you say, hey, nothing else, or you're gone, right? And he complies with that,
right. Then,
you know, you need to be reasonable.
Well, then clearly he thought it came from Aaron Boone, and that was the thing that put him over the top. But you have to wonder if there's a possibility you're wrong.
Right.
And you can't just say, I don't care that it came from
exactly,
a fan.
Exactly right.
And so that was the thing that put it over the top, what came from a fan. Then you have to admit you're wrong in that instance.
The audio is great. We can't play it, but because it says there's curse words and stuff.
Expletives, yeah.
But you can hear all of it.
I do think that the leash is getting shorter around the game because the abuse that – and I'm not defending the move, by the way. He screwed up. The abuse these officials are taking now, like there's now marketing campaigns with how much umps are getting. I mean, nobody wants to do it anymore.
Right.
Nobody wants to do it anymore at the youth level and the pro level.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll throw everybody out.
That's what I would do. I used to do YMC basketball, and there was a short leash always. So there's just no question what the rule is. The rule is short leash, you're gone. It's clear.
If I was a basketball official, there's no question that I would eject Jason. There was an instance where, you know, you berate the officials, you say that's a flagrant, you're out. Don't tell me what it is, and you sit on the bench, you enjoy the game, all right? As a fan, which is what you're there to see me. I'm not here to see you, okay? You're here to see me do my thing on the sidelines, right? Mm-hmm. So you be a fan or you're gone. We got to get the parents back in check in Memphis. That's the first thing, right? The parents are out of
it. There's some rough ones out there, brother.
The parents are – I don't know how the baseball scene is.
There's some rough ones.
But I know the basketball scene jumped the shark a long time ago. I mean, some of y'all are just out of pocket, you know, and I'm starting to worry about you.
These guys don't get paid enough.
You'd be just like these NBA officials and let Draymond spit all over you.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Yes, you would.
We're going to make this extremely clear first and foremost. I'm calling this game right down the middle. And if you so much as look at me, I'm going to be the Grim Reaper.
Good.
Like Tony Brothers.
I always like that because it leaves no room for what the exception is.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'll have fun with you outside the lines, but inside the lines.
Jamming it out.
I ain't playing.
Gone.
I'm going to have the reputation for, oh, man, you can't talk to him.
Yep.
Out. Parents, teachers.
Ripcord.
Students, grandma, grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even care what grandma, grandpa. They might not say nothing. I'll eject their ass. I you know?
No,
for something you did. I'll say, you know what? No, you stay. Grandma, you're out of here. So now.
You would be literally just the ump that made that mistake. Because you would have such an ego.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Guy's reputation, you'd throw him out even if it was the fan talking. That'd be you.
Exactly
poor.
Right.
Yeah, that's a miss there.
No, I am the official that youth basketball in Memphis needs. Accountability. You know what I'm saying? For the parents' actions. They're going to try to tell me what a foul is. What am I wearing?
I think this
And what are you wearing?
You're not getting paid enough to argue with some of these parents. They ain't going to talk about going back to the car and getting a gun.
No, see, that's ridiculous.
That's what I'm saying.
It is so brutal,
that's
Jason.
That's a brass point. That's why they're quitting.
They're quitting at massive levels.
Like, I'm getting 50 bucks to be here all day, and you want to argue me like it's the like
parents
this call's
really,
going to change
their
life?
Really threatening guns, bro.
Yes, bro.
Yes. I've seen it. It's crazy. I broke up a fight once in Arkansas between a coach and a dad. I mean, it gets violent on them streets, bro. Craziness.
Embarrassing.
Yeah.
All the way around. All right, we'll come back. Jason Fitz is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about the NBA playoffs, NFL draft, and more. Jason and John, iTurn FM, ESPN.
I mean, we love just turning it on and getting the Tigers or Grizz stuff.
92.9 FM, 680 AM on the Odyssey app, Memphis' sports station.
I've been listening for over 10 or 12 years. Like, it's my favorite station.
92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Pull up in it. The party's still going on at Robert Irwin Jewelers. The Loose Diamond event is the party, which is when you're going to find lowest prices on hundreds of loose natural diamonds. All shapes, all sizes, all cuts, all clarity for all budgets. This Thursday through Saturday, Robert Irwin Jewelers Diamond Showroom on Perkins Extended across from Novel Booksellers. If you are in the market for a diamond engagement ring, now is the time. Cheapest, lowest price you're going to find. Lots of options. So Howie can work with you. I'm telling you, you'll be glad you got over there. Robert Irwin Jewelers this Thursday through the Saturday.
Yep. Remember, this one's at the Diamond Showroom on Perkins Extended. As John said, starts on Thursday. And Howie's got all the options. 0% interest for 60 months or 20% off during this event. Upgrades are welcome too, and plus every diamond engagement ring purchase is going to come with a free men's wedding band. So Howie's taking care of you too, men. It's not just for her. Maybe you want to upgrade your diamond stud earrings. They can do that too. Bring in your old earrings, trade them in, and get a bigger and brighter pair. You can do that at this event, the Loose Diamond and Bridal Event Sale going on at Robert Irwin Jewelers this Thursday through Saturday at the Robert Irwin Jewelers Diamond Showroom on Perkins Extended across from the Novel Booksellers. For complete details, go online to rijewelers.com. Always bigger, brighter diamonds at RIJ.
There was some NBA draft news.
Recherche.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're going to have to figure out how to pronounce this man's name.
Recherche.
Zachary Recherche. I'll go with it. I don't know if it's correct.
French.
It's weird. It's like
Recherche.
Recherche, or because there's no accent mark though. Like it's like Resacher. That's how it's spelled, but it could be Recherche. I have no idea. I think Zachary is right, so we could just go with that.
Everything you read says this is the worst draft.
No, I made
We've
fun.
We've seen in years.
I made fun.
No
of,
true one.
Yeah, that's what
no
everybody said.
No game changer or franchise player here.
I made fun of Goodman for putting that out. Though.
It was Goodman where I
yeah,
saw that.
Yeah, he's like one NBA GM told me, there are no players in this draft. It is absolutely garbage. No single player on this in this draft will get a second contract. I'm like, relax, bro. You know, like there's going to be good players in the draft. They may not be top, you know, five picks, but there's always players that, you know, show up. So what was the worst draft? The Anthony Bennett draft?
That's pretty bad.
That was 2012?
Don't ask me the year, but yes, Cleveland blew it.
No, I think it was 2013, because 2012 was Anthony Davis. So mm-hmm. let's just go through let's just say that was the worst one ever. That's considered to be the worst, you know.
It's up there.
Yeah, because Anthony Bennett and Ben McLemore and
Oof.
All these guys, right?
Ooh.
All right, so here's the, I mean, in fairness, it's pretty bad. Top 10, Anthony Bennett, number one. Victor Oladipo, number two. Now, he did make an all-star game.
Got a second contract?
Yeah.
Maybe a third.
Otto Porter Jr., three. Cody Zeller, four. Alex Lynn, five. Nerlens Noel, six. Ben McLemore, seven. KCP, eight. Trey Burke, nine. CJ McCollum, 10. So, of the top 10, you would say one good player for sure in CJ. And Victor was good when
Victor
he was healthy.
Victor was good when healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't control that. He was having a good career.
Yeah, but if you'd have told me who Oladipo was drafted by, I would have not been able to tell you. He was drafted by the Orlando Magic. He spent 3 years in the Orlando with the Orlando Magic.
I think I'd forgotten that.
There's no way I would have remembered that. Like, not a chance. I would have thought Pacers. You know,
you had some longtime pros in there. I heard
Steven Adams,
Nerlens Noel played a long time. You know, not great, but played a long time. And you mentioned a couple others that felt like had, you know, 10 plus year careers, but no studs, no game changers. You had two good players out of that top 10.
Yeah, Steven Adams was 12th, so that's a good one at 12. Kelly Olynyk at 13, longtime pro. At 15, this guy turned out okay. Giannis.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
If he'd have gone in the top 5, would we say the draft was better? You know, I don't know. Dennis Schroeder at 17. Dennis Schroeder had a long career. Gobert, 27th.
Steal.
I mean, Tim Hardaway Jr. at 24, he's had a long career. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that these guys are great players, but, I mean, Rudy Gobert, Defensive Player of the Year.
Well, multiple time winner.
Yeah. And then, yeah, the second round was terrible. But they usually are. I mean, I don't think there's anybody in the second round that ended up being, like, there's not a single NBA player in the second round that's still there.
Okay, so it was a pretty bad draft.
Mike Muscala, I think he's still around. I think he's on the Thunder roster. Dude, when I saw, I was like, who is this white guy last night for the Thunder? Who is this dude? It was Gordon Hayward.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah. Coming off like, he's like the eighth man.
Get the dust off
of him. I thought he was just like some random, you know, like European white dude they had. It was Gordon Hayward. I'm like, no way. He looks different, man.
What?
Yeah, like, I mean, you know, it's just, you know, I tend to think I know pretty much all of the whites in the league. I did not know this one.
What?
Could not imagine it was him.
Your general take is there will be longtime pros out of this draft, but you agree that there is no game changers. There are no faces
off the
franchise.
Off the surface, I think
the worst draft out of that produced, you know, what you pulled out, you had Gobert there late. You know, you'll get some solid pros and maybe an all-star or two, but it's still bad. Man, no need to dress it up, bro. Goodman might have been a little extreme.
Isn't Reed Sheppard a great player and would be a great scorer for your team?
I don't know about that. I don't know about the scoring. Like, I mean, you're just trying to project, right? Yeah. Ultimately, that's what you're trying to do. And I think
I don't know if either of those guys can play defense enough to become a great scorer. That's going to be, you got to be on the floor to be a great scorer, that's to right. your point. And yeah. can those guys be decent enough defensively to stay out there and be great scorers? Yeah, or are you just filling a role, kind of like Kennard, three-point shooting? Can you be that? I think certainly. Shepard, there's a chance he can be more than that, I think. There's an opportunity there for him to maybe play some point guard, which Kennard could not do,
right.
and be a little bit different. He needs to. Yeah. And that's how you maximize. If you're just, you know, I mean, Grayson Allen is more than just 3-point shooter. That's how he cashed in. Like, that dude's...
He hedges screens. He's a defender. He can get in your stuff.
No question about it. Like, he works hard and everything else. Yeah. It's not just the 3-point shooting, which was unbelievable this year. He led the league.
He got paid.
He just got paid.
Yeah.
So, you got to bring more to the table than just the 3-point shot if you're going to be out there. Yep. So that's the key for certainly for Sheppard. And Connect.
I feel better about Sheppard defensively than I do Connect. I think Connect is a cone. I think at least with Reed Sheppard, I think he's going to be able to put a little physicality on you.
See, Austin Reeves is not a great defender, but the effort is there. There's enough pushing and physicality.
Movement.
Yes, you can keep him out there, and that's why he can go and be an impact player
on
the offensive end.
He's a dog. He doesn't look like a dog. He happens to be a dog. It's the weirdest thing.
I think Sheppard got a little bit of that in him.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Some dog in him.
I can see that.
You know, with the way he was raised.
Yeah. The 2000 draft class is the one that people say is the worst. So let's go through the 2000 NBA draft. Top 10. Kenyon Martin, number 1. Stromile Swift, number 2. Darius Miles, number 3. Marcus Fizer, 4. You know that well.
Yep.
Mike Miller, number 5. DeMar Johnson, number 6. Chris Mims, 7. Jamal Crawford, 8. Joel Prisbilla, 9. Keon Dooling, 10. Now, that is absolutely terrible. I mean,
Mike and
Mike's like the best. Jamal Crawford.
Mike and Jamal Crawford were pretty darn good.
They were good, but like, that's your best.
And Mike ended up being rookie of the year.
Yeah, he was rookie of the year.
Jamal had a great career, one of the best six men we've ever seen.
Kenyon Martin made an all-star game.
That's tough, though, as a one pick. That's better than Anthony Bennett, but, he was the number one pick.
Yes.
He had a good long career, though.
Let's see if you remember any of these names.
I don't know if that 10 was worse than the first 10 you gave us from the Bennett draft, but it's comparable.
It is. Let's see the rest of the lottery. Jerome Moiso, remember him?
No.
Eaton Thomas.
No.
He had the dreads. I remember him with the Wizards. Courtney Alexander. Mateen Cleaves. Jason Collier. Hedo Turkoglu. Desmond Mason. Quentin Richardson. Jamal McGlure. Speedy Claxton. Mo Pete. Donnell Harvey. Deshaun Stevenson. Dalibor Bagaric. Jake Sokolidis. Mamadou Njai. Primoz Bresic. Eric Barkley. Mark Madsen. That's your first round.
Yeah, it's worse because the other first round had Giannis and Gobert in it.
Exactly.
You know, at 15 and then the 20s. So it's way it is
now,
worse.
The second round here did produce Michael Redd.
Good player.
I mean, that's better than that second round.
Hey, Michael Redd, good career in Milwaukee.
Yeah, he was great. Lefty shooter.
How many All Stars? A couple?
One, two,
did he make three?
I think he made an all NBA third team. All star he made an All Star and he made an all NBA third team. For a second round pick?
Yeah.
That's damn good. That's damn good. That's really the best you could hope to be. Let's see. What did he shoot from three? He shot, for his career, 38% from three in a time where people didn't take him, right?
Michael Redd, good player.
He averaged, dude, in 06-07, that man averaged 26.7 points a game.
Legit.
I mean, he was a bucket in his day. And you got him at the 43rd pick. You know, I mean, I don't think it's quite as good as G.G. Jackson, but it's certainly in the discussion.
That's crazy.
G.G. Jackson could be Michael Redd, bro. Why not? He could be that. They don't ask him to score as much, but, you know.
Oh, this thing gets reshaped. He might end up being better than Michael Redd.
Yeah.
You'd have to reshape the roster, though. You'd have to be moving on from your core.
Exactly.
Before he gets that.
You never know, man. You never know.
He might be, though, that dude.
Yeah.
G.G. might be that kind of guy. That one day could be a face.
Little trivia for you on Michael Redd. He spent every season but one with the Bucks. Hmm. He did move on and play for another team. That would have been the Phoenix Suns. In 2011-12. So, where he did average 8.2 a game, even in his, you know, last days, still averaging 8.2 a game. By the way, did you watch the Heat game? Did you see the plays that K-Love made in that play-in?
Yes.
Were you a little like, whoa, I didn't realize he was still doing it at that level?
No, I'm just thinking, man, John called it on this one. Oh, Kevin Love stepped up in this game. Mike Miller must have told you something. Did he have a conversation with him beforehand?
The white telekinesis?
He had a little bit of an inside scoop on that.
No.
He was crazy because he had 16 that game, didn't he?
Yeah.
He had come to play, and I remember stopping things and saying, ho, John. Just calm down.
Yeah,
about some damn Kevin Love.
Yeah, I was in there.
Y'all ridiculed me for saying K-Love still had a little bit left.
Well, this is why we have Fade Brad for unfortunate bad predictions like that.
No, I mean, listen, here's the truth. I mean, he's not asked to do very much anymore, but
16 points?
He's a difference maker when again, it's against teams where they're not overmatched.
Right. I was going to say, what did he do yesterday?
Yeah, he's over. Yeah, now they're overmatched.
Yeah,
there's no question.
Y'all, you picked the spot, though.
Yes, I knew.
Really did.
I knew. I said against these Bulls, he going to come in.
Against
the wall, play in.
Oh, yeah.
Step up time for Kevin Love. I'll be damned if he didn't. He's had a great season. He's better than y'all think. He's still got something in the tank.
How old is Kevin Love?
Oh, he had drafted up. It was the 08 draft.
Right, 35 freaking years old.
He came out
old.
With D. Rose, right?
Yeah.
And he plays much older than that.
Yeah, he definitely looks so old. That man looks like he's at least 45 years old.
No question.
But he, you know, salute to K Love, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly,
it's fair.
Like, dude has had a very long, successful career. You know, even known him since 2008. That's very impressive. He's not talked about like that. He's not beloved, you know, but to be honest, like, he did it multiple teams. You know what I'm saying? Like, I thought after his Cleveland days that he was toast, that he would not go anywhere and he would not be at his age, whatever he is right now, he's got to be what, 35?
He's 35.
He's still contributing a little bit?
Like Batum.
Yeah. I think he's better than Batum. I'd rather have
Batum. No, he's not better than Batum. We had 6 threes and had key blocks the other day.
Yeah, but what did he do against the Knicks?
Nothing.
I mean, that is
about the same.
Yeah,
and how old? They seem like they're about the same age. They pop up every once in a while.
That's right. Once every three games, they'll do something.
Batum is 35.
Yeah, they're the same age.
Incredible.
Yeah, they're the exact same player, man. We'll get one every four performances.
See if you can call the next one.
Folks in Memphis wanted Batum bad a couple of years ago.
Well, no, more than a couple. It was like 2015. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when they wanted.
But people really were like, go get Nick Batum. He'll make you run.
I think you are bringing up 2015 references right now.
I think it wasn't that long ago.
Bro, it had to be 2015 because that man ain't been relevant since 2015.
It might have been in that, you're right. It might have been that year where Chris Wallace screwed up with the which Brooks he was trading. Remember that whole debacle?
Yes.
We're trading this Brooks. Whoops. That's not the Brooks we're giving. Remember? That was the craziest S ever.
It was when Batum went to Charlotte.
16.
That's when everybody wanted hit. That's when everybody wanted Batum
It was the Marshawn or Dylan Brooks debacle year.
Yeah, he went to the Hornets in 2015.
Okay, so you nailed it, actually.
It would have been that offseason.
That's old-ass Brad Carson reminiscing a little bit.
Man,
there.
You made it sound like it was like 2021.
And let me be clear, this is the kind of insight you get when you're fading my ass picks. So.
No, it all runs together for Brad. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. But anyway, shout-out to Kevin Love. Shout-out to Nick Batum, man. 35 years old.
Could find the next one in this year's draft.
I like it. Okay, the time's already over for you guys. I still have a couple of guys in the NBA that are older than me.
You're fair,
right? So I like to hold on to those dudes. You know, like, oh yeah, Batum, man, he's still doing it, bro.
You got a few left.
He's still doing it. Yeah, who do you think is going to be like my last one? I'm 32.
Vince Carter was my last one. He's 47.
So who's going to be the last? Like
your age?
When he's done, I'm done. Everybody's going to officially be younger than me.
G.G. Jackson?
No. Got to be the same age.
Got to be the same age.
Got to be the same.
That makes you feel better.
Westbrook's too old.
Yeah, Westbrook's too old.
He's up there with Love and Batum.
So hold on. I'm just going to look up like the 2000. When did I come out of college? So
let's say, Middleton.
But he's not really a star like that. When Chris Middleton goes out, bro, I'm not going to shed a tear.
Kyrie?
You know, Joel Embiid, man. Joel Embiid came out in 2014. So when he calls it, that'll probably be like, damn, I ain't got nobody else. You know, Giannis, I would say, is in that range. Yeah, Giannis, Joel Embiid, like guys from those drafts. Absolutely right. But there's my generation. We've been aged out.
Getting there.
All right. We'll come back, wrap it up here on a Monday. Jason and John, Turner FM, ESPN.
The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency is here to help. If you are ready to list your home, sell your home, and I assume make the most money for it, they're the team to call. You're not going to hear any diss records about the Live Love Group. A, because they have great relationships with people, but also because they're just the undisputed best. It's just the reality of the situation. So if you want to get involved and get to know the best team in real estate in Memphis and help them, let them help you make the most money, reach out, totalliveLoveMemphis.com.
But if you are a renter, say you're in an apartment, you want to be a homeowner, Jennifer can help you too. She specializes in helping first-time home buyers. Call her up, 901-625-5200. At least she can be for you as a great resource. What can you afford? Where to buy in this great city of Memphis? But she's not just Memphis. She's DeSoto County. She's Nashville now. She's all over, Jennifer Carstensen is, because she's got a fantastic team. See for yourself. Let them work for you. Get you the most money for that home or help you get that home, whichever side she's got you. 901-625-5200. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
That's going to do it for us today as we are getting ready for the NFL Draft on Thursday. Obviously, in case you missed it, Brad will be on the Orlando Magic +5. He will be on the Knicks -5.5, and he will be on the Denver Nuggets -7. So one dog and two favorites is the go-to for Brad tonight. We'll keep you updated. We'll see how it goes tomorrow. Enjoy the playoffs tonight. Giannotto and Jeffrey are up next. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.